All right, and we are back. You're listening to Green Left Radio, and we are on the phone with Rehana Mohideen from the Filipino Partido Lakas ng Masa, or the Party of the Laboring Masses, a socialist party running an almost full slate of candidates in the upcoming Philippine election, which I believe is scheduled for May 6th. Rehana, thank you for joining us.
For having me on your program.
So, Rehana, could you give us and our listeners a little overview of the differences between the Australian and Filipino electoral system, just quickly?
Well, I think it's also important to look at the political context in which the May 9 elections are taking place. We've got a situation where the political clan of the former dictator Ferdinand Marcos, who was ousted in through People's Power in 1986, making a bid for power, running for president, in alliance with the Duterte political clan, where Sara Duterte, the daughter of the current president, Duterte, is running as his vice president in a bid to maintain their hold on power. The alliance of the Marcoses Duterte, which we call the Axis of Evil, represents one of the most reactionary, the most right-wing section of the elite in the country. So the political context is important in terms of what it means for Philippine, politics. The system, of course, is a presidential system where we have the president directly elected. And then we have a Congress, upper house, which is the Senate, also directly elected nationally, and a lower house, which is based on congressional districts, but also around 20% on proportional representation, supposedly for the marginalized sectors. But generally, it's an electoral system that perpetuates elite rule, what we call elite rule, which is a specific form of capitalist rule in the Philippines. Money is absolutely key, which enables electoral fraud, that enables the political clans and the dynasties and the oligarchies to stay in power and to continue their hold on power. Vote buying is a feature of Philippine elections. The vote buying has already started. It started last year, and there's even a market rate for votes. And the COMELEC, the Commission on Elections, is completely stacked right now with Duterte political appointees. And some of the biggest contracts for voting machines and voting equipment have been given to a company run by Duterte cronies. So electoral fraud is a massive issue. It will be a massive issue in these elections. It could trigger a political crisis after May 9. So we have to be prepared not only for the elections, but also to mobilize against electoral fraud, especially if this right-wing faction, the far right-wing faction, Marcos Duterte, Axis of Evil, manages to rig and win the elections.
Hi, Rehana. This is Chloe here. It's our understanding that the PLM, that the Socialist Party, is breaking with something of a tradition, running an almost full slate of candidates in this election. Can you tell us about the thought process behind that?
Well, it's essentially the assessment was that there was a political vacuum because what we call the liberal bourgeois, or the liberal wing of the capitalist class in politics, which is the Liberal Party, they were a very weak opposition, and it was very unclear what their electoral plans were. Currently, they're running Lenny Robredo for president. So there was a massive political vacuum. We had the right mobilizing in the electoral space, and so we decided that there was a real need for a political alternative, because the masses are completely disillusioned by neoliberal politics that has destroyed the socioeconomic situation in the country, that have destroyed the lives of the masses. And there was a crying need for a clear-cut alternative to the system. And so we decided to run. It's the first time in the history of the Philippine left that a political party, in this case PLM, has run for the presidency. And we're running Carl Yodidi Guzman as the president. And it's the first time a worker leader has run for president. And it's the first time that a socialist platform, an explicitly socialist platform, has been presented as an alternative. And we're running Walden Bello, who's a very well-renowned Filipino intellectual and activist, political activist, on our ticket for vice president. We're running a full Senate ticket headed by Luke Espiritu, who's the head of our trade union center, the BMP, as Senate, for Senate, along with two environmental activists, David D'Angelo and Roy Carbonegro, for the Senate. We have a guest list of senators as well, which includes people like Riza Hontiveros from Akbayan. And we are contesting the Congress through the party list system, which is a system based on proportional representation for the marginalized, even though that has been completely distorted by front groups of the elite and capitalists, and local positions from mayor to local councillors in several areas.
It's definitely good to have such a broadly, like so many candidates for a left campaign. You know, it's good to propose these sorts of alternatives for sure. PLM's vice presidential candidate, Walden Bello, who you just mentioned, said in a speech given on February 8th in Manila that the PLM does not offer a superficial diagnosis of the cause of our national malaise. You've already mentioned some things about the, you know, potential of vote rigging, about corruption in the electoral system and that sort of thing. But can you give us a bit more of what the PLM's diagnosis of Philippines' national malaise is?
This is a central aspect of our electoral platform, and that is to raise these questions and raise awareness of it and put forward practical solutions for it. And it's also having a massive political impact. It's having a significant national political impact as well. The media is picking it up, which is also very good. Our basic analysis is that it's a systemic. You know, it's not just a question of tinkering with the system here, or it's not a question of who's running this or that department, or you know, and so on, but that it is a systemic problem, that it is a problem that flows from the specific features of Philippine capitalism, clan and dynasty politics, based on a landed oligarchy, which is a capitalist class linked to land. And so we essentially argue that this is a systemic problem. It's a system that's a problem that has to be changed. And we put forward a platform that's aligned with it. And this is getting a hearing. It's having a significant national political impact, so much so that our candidates, the mainstream media, have assigned journalists to our candidates' campaign trail, and they follow our candidates around. We're on the national news every day on several programs, and we can't keep up with the media work. Our communications team is absolutely flat out. Of course, we're under-resourced, don't have the money, don't have the resources. We've hit well above our weight, but it was needed, and that's what we're doing.
Thanks for Hana. So you've, you know, well, I guess what we wanted to ask you is, what if, you know, if things work out, what would does the PLM propose to do if they are elected, about, you know, some of these systemic problems of the Philippines capitalism, really, that you were just talking about?
Well, we put forward an immediate platform of demands, it's sort of something that we would move very fast on, saying the first 100 days being elected. We are proposing a wealth tax of the 500 richest families in the Philippines to address the pandemic crisis, which includes upgrading the health system and immediately improving the wages and working conditions of health workers, upgrading all other basic services. This wealth tax will bring in over a trillion pesos, an immediate increase in the minimum wage, which we have already filed in front of several wage boards in the Philippines, to 750 pesos a day, a lowering of the work week with no loss in pay, because unemployment under the pandemic is high. The implementation of the anti-dynasty law. There's a law that is against dynasties, but it hasn't been implemented because there aren't implementing laws in Congress. So an immediate dismantling of the dynasties by implementing this law. To abolish manpower agencies that are responsible for subcontracting. We want to get rid of subcontracting completely and regularize work. So the first step is to abolish manpower agencies, stop all coal mining, close down all coal mines, and implement the Renewable Energy Act, which hasn't been implemented, decriminalize abortion, legalize divorce, and legalize same-sex marriage, demand climate justice of the industrialized countries such as Australia for their historic responsibility for the climate emergency that we face. Resume peace talks to the Communist Party of the Philippines and the New People's Army, because there's an insurgency in the country due to the systemic problems. A non-aligned foreign policy, especially in the Spratlys and in the South China Sea or the West Philippine Sea, where it's neither the United States nor China. A non-aligned foreign policy based on national sovereignty and internationalism. So these are some of the immediate aspects of our platform that we would move quickly to implement.
Mm. Thanks, Rehana. That kind of makes me want to wish that you could be elected here
as
well.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Such an impressive platform. So, yeah, thanks for joining us to tell us about all of this stuff. I think it's really useful for our audience and people in general to know more about, like, what's going on internationally that's not just what we always end up hearing about Europe and the U.S. Like, in a way, Philippine politics should affect us more than Europe or the U.S. You know, you're basically our neighbors. But we barely ever hear about it, so it's really good. And like I said, it does kind of make me wish that Farida Lacasumasa could be elected here too. But you know, we do our best. Is there anything that you wanted to add? Any final thoughts? Stuff we didn't get to?
Yeah. Well, you said the Philippine politics should affect Australia more. Well, Australian politics affects the Philippines more because the Australian government intervenes in the region. And it intervenes militarily in the region. We have military agreements with Australia, which are completely to the detriment of the Philippines and undermine Philippine national sovereignty, which includes the allowing Australian troops, sort of a rotating presence on Philippine soil. So we have military agreements that are completely detrimental to the Filipino people. We have Australian mining companies that come in and with absolute impunity destroy the environment and communities in the Philippines as well. And I know that there are groups in Australia, such as Friends of the Earth and so on, who take up these issues and campaign on these issues. And finally, I'd like to say a big thank you, maraming maraming salamat po sa inyong lahat, to the Filipino-Australian community for including our candidate and endorsing our candidate amongst the Filipino-Australian voters. I think there are some 20,000 plus, but every single vote counts. And they have endorsed Luke Espiritu, one of our leading Senate candidates. And their how-to-votes include Luke Espiritu for the Senate. And they have also endorsed Partido Lakas ng Masa, party list for the Congress, as one of the options that they're recommending for the Senate. So thank you very much to the Filipino-Australian community, our friends and networks. Mabuhay! And maraming maraming salamat po sa inyong lahat.
Yeah.
Mabuhay, Rahana.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Solidarity, and yeah, best of luck with the upcoming elections. We'll be keeping a close eye.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us again. See ya.
Thank you very much. Bye.